Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everyone here, this is Chris Miles, cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur. Be able to come at you here live today, be able to be so grateful to have our guest that we have, Kevin Clayson. I'll introduce you to in just a second. Oh, the Chris Miles Money Show, it's all about how to provide cash flow and real financial freedom today, not 20, 30, 40,000 years from now, but right now. How are you going to live your life and love your life right now? How are you going to be able to show up in a way that you have more freedom, more time, better quality of life today rather, without having to live off rice and beans for the rest of your life and being a cheap son of a gun and just hating life? Because this show is not about just saving and not spending and sacrificing and suffering and sucking. It's not about that at all. It's all about freedom. It's all about having that life that you love right now. And so, hey, as we're getting started here, I just want to remind you, check out our website, www.moneyripples.com. You know, we've got some great blogs on there. We've got, you know, events coming up, all kinds of good stuff there. So, you know, make sure you join us there. Also, if you haven't done so, be sure to subscribe to our show here on iTunes. Love to be able to have you follow up with that. Love to have you be able to, you know, be able to listen to archive shows that we've had and awesome, awesome stuff there. So, today, we want to talk about something that I see that those that are wealthy, not just those that are rich, but those that are truly wealthy in life, the one thing that they do have in common, and that's gratitude. Those that are truly wealthy, those that truly have a good quality of life, one thing that you'll always see as a trait that is pretty typical of them is that they're marked by gratitude. They're always those people that are showing gratitude to others. They're grateful for the life in general. And they love their life. And that's the whole goal, isn't it? And so today we've got our special guest, Kevin Clayson. You know, Kevin here joins us. He's actually one of the founding partners of Strongbrook. He's an amazing guy. He's also, as he's called, the chief officer of awesome. Is that pretty accurate, Kevin?
Heck yeah, it is, man. Chief officer of awesome. You better believe it, buddy.
Now, I've known Kevin here for about 6 years now. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, 6 years now I've known Kevin. I kind of refer to him as the brother from another mother. He might dance a little better than me. He might rap better than me, but definitely to know and grateful to have him on the show. I actually had him on my old show, my old Fire Your Financial Advisor podcast that I used to run. He was on that show back then, and I'll tell you, as years have gone by and as we've both grown in so many different ways, it's fun to see how our paths can walk parallel paths and do some great things. I'll tell you, I mean, not only is he a great speaker, he's very motivational. He's also a very caring person, someone who cares deeply about what he does and making a difference in the world. And so, so hey, Kevin, glad to have you on, man.
Man, Chris, first of all, let me just say thank you to you and for your audience. Like, I don't know how many people out there, Chris, have known you as long as I have, but I just want everybody here to know something about Chris Miles. He says that he's, you know, my brother from another mother. I absolutely believe that. Look, when you go and run 20 miles with someone, and which we've done, you bond with somebody. But I got to just say, I've been able to watch Chris as he's gone through his growth and evolution, as I've been going through mine. Chris has always been a cash flow expert. He's always been somebody that I've had such tremendous trust in your opinion, in just who you are as a person and your integrity. And I want you to know, Chris, and I want your audience to know, it is an absolute honor not just to be on your show today, but to have been your friend for the last 6 years and to watch you over the last 6 years. And I don't know how much of your backstory your audience understands, but let me say this about Chris, you guys. This is a man who absolutely lives what he teaches and who changes lives as a result of it. And it's not just other people's lives that he changes as a result of it. He has changed his own life with the same exact principles that he teaches. And so, Chris, I'm thankful. It's truly an honor to be on with you. Thanks for always being this beacon of knowledge and education and hope in my life. And this is awesome, man. This is so cool. It's been like, we were just talking about this in the pre-show, it's been like 6 years since we've been, you know, on a radio or on a broadcast together like this. So this is great, man.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of fun, huh?
It is, man. It's really, really, really good to be here.
Well, I appreciate it, man, and definitely, you know, likewise, and I think I'm blushing. Can you tell?
Yeah, I can totally see it. I can hear it right through the Skype, man. I can feel the blush.
Yeah, you're feeling me fanning my face, right?
That's right.
Awesome. Well, hey, Kevin, yo, tell our listeners more about you and your backstory.
Sure. Yeah, you know, my story is a pretty simple one. Because I grew up in Oakland, California, just outside of Oakland, actually, in San Leandro, California, and just on the East Bay there. And I grew up and I had this incredible childhood, but it was a childhood that was a lot like many of you out there, I'm sure, where, you know, mom and dad worked their buns off, and they always made sure that we had enough, but there wasn't always a lot extra to go around. And so I grew up in a household that, look, God bless my mom and dad. I love them. But to this day, I have to call them out on their pattern of thought. You know, my dad will text me something about, I don't know if we can afford it. And I'll say, Dad, no, you choose not to afford it. It's not that you can't afford it. And so I kind of have to go back and forth with my parents. But they raised me in this household that said, go to school, get a good job. You know, that's the stability that you're looking for. And you know, now in later years, I realize that translates to high school, college, 9-to-5, 401k, and you buy a primary residence one time, and there you go, right? There's life and there's retirement. And so that was kind of the way that I grew up. Went to high school in California, ended up going to a year of college in California, went and served a mission for my church in Berlin, Germany for 2 years. And while I was there, I had a couple guys that I met that I became really good friends with, and those guys are now my business partners. And back in 2007, we formed a company that's now called the Strong Brook Group, and we own multiple companies, and it's been really, really cool to help people actually do real estate, not just learn about real estate. And you know, we've transacted over $250 million in real estate with our clients now, and it's just kind of fun to see that. But I got to tell you, Chris, if I go back a little bit, you and I share a little bit of a similar background in the sense that I was married for about 3.5 years, going to college. I was finishing up college. I'd been married for 3.5 years. All of a sudden, my ex-wife says, hey, newsflash. Yeah, I don't love you, and I'm out of here. And so that, you know, as you know, can feel awesome.
Right.
And by awesome, I mean terrible, and I'm crying inside. Okay. That's what that means. But it was hard, man. And that was a pivotal moment for me, because in that moment, I decided that maybe I had to do something different than I was doing, which was finishing school to eventually go get some job. But at the time, I was really content working retail, and I decided, well, geez, I got a real job, and I got hired on with Wells Fargo Financial. That company is not even in existence any longer. I started doing auto loans and mortgages, and at first it was hard for me to wrap my mind around what that whole thing was, doing loans. I started to get good at it. I started to rise in the ranks, and I became the assistant manager of an entire branch, and had a chance to manage an entire branch. And you know, it ended up being pretty cool. I started to make some money, but that's when I had this realization, Chris, that I was still, even though I was out of the retail rut, which I thought was the reason why my ex-wife left me, because I wasn't making enough of myself, I was still in this kind of rut where I still was totally dependent on someone else. I was totally dependent on an employer, and you know, if they made a company-wide sweeping policy change or they decided to change salaries or whatever, I was still going to fall victim to that. Plus, I started to really get familiar with the financial industry I was in, and I started to look at the fact that I wasn't even providing good loans for people, and I had this integrity issue when I realized that, and I said, I'm out of here. So that was, for me, the defining moment where I took the big leap into the unknown, into being a self-employed individual. If we're talking Robert Kiyosaki, I moved into the S quadrant to be a mortgage broker. And while I was there, and was doing mortgages in a more of a wholesale way, started to really like that. That's when my buddies came back into my life, and my friend Chris said, hey, I think I'm going to start this company. Do you want to come over? And that's when I made the jump from self-employed into the B and the I, where I started to invest in real estate through our system, and then we started to be a business and own this business. And now, Chris, you know, we've been around for about 7.5 years. We've got about 50. We've done a lot of real estate for our clients. We've got clients in all 50 states. We've got a direct sales organization that's spread across the country in all 50 states. And so it's been this cool story, this evolution of a kid who didn't have much money to trying to go to school in hopes that I could have some stability, into realizing that wasn't the answer, and taking a leap into the unknown, and then moving from there into owning and running a business, which is now what my life's passion is, a huge piece of that. And now going on even beyond that and being a speaker and author and all the stuff that you know that you and I both do. You and I have been featured in a book together. And so, yeah, man, really cool. By the way, for your audience, I did get remarried. My wife now, way better than the first, so I totally lucked out.
Yes, you did. Well, cool beans, man. Well, that sounds like a pretty cool story, huh?
Well, you know what? It's my story, and I tell you, I am thankful for every piece of it, and that is another part of what I kind of had to learn, man. And you know this too. It's like if I went back and I listed all of the issues that came up, or the hardships, or the trials, the adversity that showed up, I think a huge reason why I've been able to get myself into a space where I now get to do so much of what I love is because of the one thing you already mentioned, and it's what I'm so passionate about, and I'm right smack dab in the middle of a book on it, and it's this concept of gratitude, man. And that for me has been a huge piece of my personal evolution as a human being, but also as a business person.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's funny that the path that you walk is, you know, although we haven't had the same exact experiences, there's been a lot of similarities there.
True, yeah.
You know, like we, you know, it's from the things that we've learned that have actually helped develop us in who we are, and it's actually allowed us to become more and better teachers and better, you know, better leaders and things that we do each and every day. It's so amazing how sometimes the hardest trials that we go through, the hardest experiences, are the ones that actually bless us the most and allow us to bless others the most too.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, and you know what? I put this thing on Facebook. By the way, for your audience, I love to connect on Facebook. If anybody wants to connect with me on Facebook, it's just Kevin Clayson on there, or on Twitter, at Kevin Clayson. I tweet a lot too, and so I would love to connect with you guys. You know, I put this thing a couple weeks ago because I had this thought, Chris, and you know how everybody says, oh, look for the silver lining. And listen, I like that because it's kind of it's like, well, you know, when it's dark and dreary and it's cloudy, maybe the sun is shining through, look for the silver lining. So it's like, I want to find a bright spot in the otherwise dark and dreary world. Well, let me tell you something, man. I put this on Facebook, and this is what I believe. I don't believe that there's a silver lining. I think that the whole thing is gold. That whole cloud that hangs over your head is gold. And the only difference between someone seeing something as a challenge, as adversity, as something negative, and then trying to find the positive in it, you're still indicating, you're still giving some power over to the fact that there's some negative force that's impacting you. And this is just what I've chosen to believe, is that whatever that trial, that adversity, that whatever you want to call it, some people even refer to it as failure. Chris, you know, I've never failed in my life. I've only had stepping stones to success. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of stepping stones, but just kidding, but there really have been a lot of stepping stones. But I don't choose to view failure as failure. And I don't choose to view trials and hardship as trials and hardship. It's not a silver lining in the cloud. That whole cloud is gold, because in that moment, when you're faced with some sort of a challenge or something that a lot of times in another book that I have, I thought I used the word resistance. When resistance shows up in your life, becomes a blessing. And it's simply a function of when that thing shows up for you, do you choose to experience gratitude in it and with it, or do you simply acknowledge it like, oh my gosh, there you are again, you're trying to ruin everything, now I have to hustle really hard and maybe find a silver lining. No, no, no. When that thing shows up, I just utter a big, huge thank you, because all it is this stepping stone to success. It becomes this thing, this opportunity to create something magical and wonderful and brand new. And that's just the way I've chosen to view business. It's the way I've chosen to view my life. And Chris, I think that's made a big difference for our company over the years as we've grown it during, we grew a real estate company in like the word when the real estate bubble exploded,
right?
Like that's when we grew our company. And so maybe it's a function of being forced to experience gratitude, so I didn't go totally crazy. But either way, I'm just thankful because it did create a massive amount of momentum during a time when many people went out of business. We created momentum and actually grew the company. I think that's a true testament to the power of what gratitude can be and should be in your business and in your life.
Yeah. And how do you think that attributes to creating more wealth? And I mean, it could be building your business or in life in general. Like, give us more on that. Like, what do you think is the power behind that?
I'll tell you something. I think it's everything, first of all. I really do. And I'll put it this way. So, actually, I mentioned this story earlier about my dad. Let me go back and I'll tell the story. So, mom and dad, who I told you I just adore, but they grew up in a different time. They were children of the Depression. While they didn't necessarily live during the Depression, their parents, their parents' most, I think, trying and difficult times would have been right smack dab in the middle of the Great Depression. My dad was born in 38, I think. And so, you know, the parents generated or created this type of scarcity around life and around resources and around money. And that scarcity, you and I know, can never yield wealth. And so my parents grew up in an era where their parents were still influenced by what had happened during the Great Depression. So it's not really mom and dad's fault that they are sort of scarcity-minded, I guess, when it comes to money. And so I was with my dad. Every time I go to California to speak, dad comes along, and I love that. That's such a cool and neat experience for me because, you know, you always want to make your dad proud. And I think it's kind of neat that dad comes with me and he sees me speak all over California. And we were driving one time, and we were driving from the Bay Area up to Sacramento, which is where I had an event that night that I was speaking at. And we were driving, and we got hungry. And so I said, Dad, are you hungry? He said, yeah, absolutely. He said, well, let's go grab a bite to eat. And we're driving down driving down the highway, and you see those signs on the side of the road. And it said that there, if we got off, there was a mall, and there was a Red Lobster that was there. And so I said, you know, Dad, let's head over to Red Lobster. Dad says, sure, absolutely. So we get off. He says, I've never been to Red Lobster. That sounds delicious. And I said, you've never been to Red Lobster? Don't you know about the cheddar biscuits? They're the most incredible creation of mankind, the cheddar biscuits. He said, I've never been to Red Lobster. And I said, okay, well, let's go. So we walk into Red Lobster, and we're seated. The waitress comes, and she seats us, and we go, and we sit down at the booth, and we're sitting there, and, you know, there's the colorful display telling you the specials, and we order our drinks, and Dad and I are sitting there, and I said, Dad, wow, can't believe you've never been to Red Lobster. Why have you never been to Red Lobster? And he says, Kev, we just could never afford it. And I paused and I said, Dad, whoa, Dad, I love you, but you have got to stop saying that. And he said, well, I'm sorry, it's just so many years. I said, Dad, listen, you're telling me you've never been able to afford Red Lobster. Okay, I get it. It's a $25 meal, and I know resources were tight back in the day. I get that. But you're telling me you've never been to Red Lobster, even at the times when resources have been better, because they had times when there was some inheritance and some things like that where there was a little bit more money that was in their existence. But I said, Dad, that's not it. It's not that you couldn't afford it. I said, Dad, right now, if I told you that my life was on the line and you had to go and find $20,000 to save my life. Would you do it? He said, absolutely, I would. And I said, okay, perfect. Let me give you a different scenario. Let's say that for some reason your life depended on your ability to go and buy a Maserati. Would you do whatever it took and everything in your power to go and find the resources, even if it meant you had to rob a bank and maybe you'd go away to prison forever, but at least your life would be saved because you had to get a Maserati? Could you find a way? Do you have enough people, resources, et cetera, that you could go and secure that money? He said, well, absolutely. I said, okay, so Dad, understand you've just chosen not to afford Red Lobster. It's not that you couldn't. And the entire difference there, Chris, is a feeling of gratitude for what you have. And if Mom and Dad had just been more thankful for the fact that there was food on our table, the fact that we could exist in a home and in a scenario where there maybe wasn't always a lot, but there was always enough. If they just could feel gratitude for that, that at some point they would have splurged and said, we can't afford Red Lobster. And you know what? We're not going to do it every night, but today we're going to do it. We're going to go just give ourselves that gift. If they were in a gratitude state of mind, that would have been something they would have done, but they haven't existed in a gratitude state of mind. And I love them, but they've existed in a scarcity mindset. And scarcity is synonymous with fear. Fear is synonymous or actually the opposite of love, and love is synonymous with gratitude. So if you don't experience a feeling of love when it comes to your interaction with money, you're never going to have enough of it. Plain and simple, you're never going to have enough money. And this is, by the way, I caught some of your language at the intro to the show, and there is a radio show host who will remain nameless, but his entire approach to money is one of scarcity. And listen, you don't have enough. So you got to do whatever you got to do. And if you need to get three jobs and not see your kids, then you got to do that. And if you need to eat rice and beans from now till eternity, then you can do that. And look, I get it, okay? I get it. But it's a scarcity mindset. And, Chris, the second that we live in a world of scarcity, it's very difficult to experience gratitude. However, here's the flip side of the coin. When we simply – so, for example, this would be an exercise I would want everybody to do. I don't know how much money you've got if you're listening right now. You know how much you have. You know how much is in the account. I just want you to sit for a moment and just experience gratitude. If it's a nickel, be thankful it's not zero. It's $1 million. Just be thankful. Do you know how many people would die to have $1 million in their bank account? And if it's $100, be thankful it's not $75. You can always experience gratitude for what you have. And Chris, when you put your, and you know this because this is the world that you exist in as well, when you put yourself in a state of love and gratitude for the money that is in your possession this moment, I promise you, you will see more of it flow into your life because you will be open to the opportunity to receive more. If you're in this perpetual state of scarcity with your money, you're always in fear. You're always either scared that you're going to lose what you got or you're scared that you're not going to have enough. Neither of those scenarios are conducive to you generating more in your life. So how does gratitude play, Chris? It's the simple, if you experience the love and this gratitude for what you've got, you will literally see more money flow into your life. Let me give you one example and then I'll shut up real quick. I'll shut up so you can talk. If I am in a state of gratitude when it comes to my financial life, I'll give you a really simple example. If I'm in a state of gratitude and I am just so thankful for what I have, and I'm thankful, I choose to believe that money is always flowing to me. And by the way, that's a feeling of gratitude you feel, even if the money isn't in front of you at the moment, still choose to experience gratitude because if you're living your life and you're persisting in right thought, that money is being drawn towards you right now. So if you don't have it in your possession, just be thankful it's on its way. And if you're thankful that money's on its way, when you walk down the street and you see a penny, you don't overlook it like, ugh, somebody dropped a penny. You don't pick it up just so you could throw it in your pocket and not consider it. You pick up that penny and you go, what a remarkable gift from God. This money, it just showed up in my life. It's here. It was like it materialized out of nowhere. And feel gratitude for that penny. You'll pick up that penny. You'll hug that penny, and you'll say, my gosh, I've been blessed with abundance. That is if you're in a state of gratitude. If you're in a state of scarcity, it's, oh, I'll just pick up this penny. Maybe I'll use it for something later, but you're not thankful for it. Or you look at it like, ugh, why can't people pick up their stupid change? And then you walk past it, and you never consider it. There's a very different feeling between those, and that's a really good gauge, by the way. The next time you see a penny, I guarantee you'll be thinking about it's different. What state of mind are you in with your money? Are you open to receive money as it flows into your life and as it is flowing to you? If you are, you're in a constant, perpetual state of gratitude. If you're not open to seeing more money flow into your life, you're in the state of scarcity. And many times money will show up like even a penny or a quarter on the ground. And if you're in a state of scarcity, you may not look at that and receive it as a gift. Rather, it's a coincidence. Right. And it's really difficult to grow sustainable long-term wealth through coincidence, but is possible through sustainable long-term dedication to yourself and to principles of gratitude and wealth building.
Love it. Love it. Yeah, see, I got a few great points from you here. And I just want to kind of review over these because I know we only got about 3 minutes here. But, I think between the stories that you've shared, I've gotten some amazing value. And hopefully the listeners picked up on this too. I think number one, one thing that's great to remember is that there's the power of declaration. You know, just like with your father, when he declares, or anybody in their lives, when they declare, hey, we never have enough. We wish we could afford it, but we can't afford it. Whenever you put a period or even an exclamation point at the end of a statement, you pretty much make that your reality. Even if you want it to be different, you can't overcome your own beliefs. You can't, in the sense that you can't overcome what you're saying, what you truly believe. You can't expect to get something different than what you're already expecting. Just like you said, that law of attention, so to speak, right? Whatever you put your attention towards expands and grows.
Yeah.
When you're putting your attention towards, being broke or whatever it might be, or not having enough, you might step over that penny, or you might, what I see a lot of people do, they'll step over that dollar bill to pick up a quarter, right?
Sometimes so true.
Over a dollar bill to pick up that penny because they're like, oh no, that's wrong. Get that out of my way, right?
Yeah.
And so you have to be careful what you declare. What kind of realities are you creating based on your words and also your thoughts? Second thing too, it's not a matter of, as you were explaining with your dad saying, hey, if it meant life or death, you would find $20,000 or you'd be able to buy that Maserati. It's all about priorities. You know, it's okay to say, I'm not going to buy this, right? Like, for example, someone might say, I really don't want to buy a boat. I get people all the time, it's like, you got to buy a boat. I'm like, honestly, I don't want to buy the boat because I wouldn't know what to do with it when I got it, right?
Right.
It's not because I know I can afford anything I want, but it's a matter of value or priorities again, right? It's, and that, if you realize it's priorities, it's a choice, like you were saying, Kevin, it's a conscious choice, it's priorities. You'll realize that you have all kinds of freedom possible when it comes to money. And so you don't say, hey, I'm not going to buy this because I can't afford it, but instead of, honestly, I think this over here is more valuable than this, and so this is why I choose this. I don't have to do this. I don't need to do this, or I should have to do this. It's all about what I prioritize. This is what I want, right? Another one, too, I got from you, gratitude creates expansion. Whatever you're grateful for will expand and grow, like I mentioned with that law of attention. When you're grateful, things will increase for it. You can't expect to have more money if you're not grateful for what you have right now, even if you feel like you're paycheck to paycheck or even less than paycheck to paycheck. And I think that comes from relativity, being able to see that things can always be worse. You ever notice that, Kevin, like things can always be worse?
Absolutely true. Yes.
Never, ever, ever, ever say that it can't get any worse than this, because I promise you it always can.
Absolutely.
I used to say that and I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm an idiot. Like I say it can't get any worse, and then I get proven wrong. I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't smart.
That's right.
So hey, Kevin, we got like 30 seconds here. Tell us about what let's talk about the Say Cheers Foundation really fast.
Yeah, sure. We just started a nonprofit called the Say Cheers Foundation. This is a huge way for me to give back and experience gratitude for what I've received in my life. And so please take a look at the Say Cheers Foundation page on Facebook. And we're in the initial process of fundraising. This is a way that we get to bless families that can really, I think, bless generations to come. So anyway, check it out, and thank you for having me on, Chris.
You bet. Thanks for being on, and hey, everybody, thanks for joining us, too. See ya. All right. That was it.
Cool, dude. Thanks, man.
Yeah, that was kind of a quick wrap-up. Sorry about that.
Dude, don't worry about it. No. It's because I'm long-winded. So, but, dude, I think we got some good stuff in there, right?
Oh, awesome stuff. There's lots of great stuff in there.
Good. Well, dude, thank you so much for having me on, brother. I appreciate it. I really do.
No, you bet, man. That was fun. So we definitely have to do it again.
Okay. All right, man. You let me know, and have a fantastic day, and appreciate you, dude. We'll chat soon, okay?
All right. Sounds good, man.
See you, man. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye.